Yo, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Chop Up. It is, what is it, Miami week? No, I'm sorry, it's Father's Day weekend because Josh Allen is going down to see his kids in Miami. It's your boy, Jay Spencer King. I got my man, Sterles, for the girls from Cover One, and I got my homegirl, Kristen Kimmick, the president of Bills Mafia Babes, joining us tonight. Well, not joining us tonight. She is a contributor for Buffalo Rumblings at this point. My man Sterles is, he's Cover One, but now he's a contributor to it. Is off fam. So this is going down. What's going on, Sterles?
Hey man, look, I'm recovering from my little weekend in Buffalo, you know, from the tailgating and meeting everybody, but shoot, I'm here, I'm ready, bro.
Yeah, yeah. What's up, Kristen? How's it? K-Gun.
Hey guys, I am also still recovering from that 10-day run that we went on. That was that was a marathon. That was a straight up marathon.
Yo, before we went live, Kristen just asked me, just like, so, you know, long day, long week. I'm like, yo, I'm still like that jet lag. So the 3-hour time difference, first of all, ruined me while I was in Buffalo. But I, you know, I'm a trooper with it. So I went through these events and I did everything like a, not a boss, like a king, and nobody even realized it because, but I was exhausted. I get back and I still, it's like now I'm falling asleep on Buffalo time. Like it's 11 o'clock in Buffalo, it's 8 o'clock here, and I'm like sitting. So I got to do better. I got to do better. But yo, like I said, it's Father's Day weekend for my man Josh Allen. Let's before we talk about the celebration tomorrow. And yes, I'm being cocky. I shouldn't be because I was cocky week one and we obviously had a disappointing loss. So let's kind of dive into that real quick. Before we talk about the actual game, let's start off with just, man, how great was it? First of all, Sterles, so you live in Denver.
Yeah.
You live in Denver. How was this your first home opener? I know it's not your first game, but was this your first? Okay. So first tell me a little bit about your experience of like, you know, did the Bills Mafia live up to the reputation that we've built for you?
Man, let me tell you, first of all, I got to spend it with you two. Okay. So that to me was special, right? Cause y'all, you know, we homies, you know, Chris, Spence, the King, you know, me, you know, it's a trifecta. So outside of that though, hey, let me tell you, look, they know how to put it on and it's better than even what's advertised. Like, I mean, you, from the time you pull up to the stadium, you just feel the energy and the nostalgia of being around Bills Mafia. Like walking around, everybody's just like, just the camaraderie is just crazy. I mean, I was walking around eating everybody's food, didn't even care. I was taking shots out of the bowling ball. I was squatting on the toilet. I mean, dude, I was wild for a little hot minute, dude. I'm telling you, dog, like I didn't even care.
I'm gonna be honest, I judged you when it came to that bowling ball. Like, and I felt bad. I didn't feel bad, but I think I was talking to Ashley or Leslie from Mafia Babes, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I just don't trust people enough to be drinking out that bowling ball. She's like, well, I've had a shot or two in my time, and then you come around the corner, you're like, yo, I just did a shot from the bowling, like literally like on cue. It was just like, yo.
Hey, let me tell you, the black in me says, bro, why you doing that? But then when you But you're surrounded by Bills Mafia. You're like, I don't give two F's. Hey, give me two. Hey, I was killing that jump. I was like, if I'm going to die, Jesus, take me now because I just hit this bowling ball. So it was lit. I had so much fun, man. It was crazy.
Yo, first of all, Sterling just talked about how he was sitting on the tape or on the chair. Like, I just want to show y'all, he was on the toilet outside the pencil run. So for those listening to this in podcast form, you got to go to Twitter, find Sterling on Twitter. It's at Furrow Sterling. And you can see the picture that he posted that like he's with the pencil run. You know, if everybody's familiar with pencil run, you know, he has the car, he has everything over there in the toilet and he's just squatting over the toilet. And it's just like, it's so perfect.
Man. With my J's on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You was brave. I didn't wear my J's. I wore my Tim's because I was nervous that it was going to rain. And you know how, well, you don't know, but Kristen would tell you, man, when it rains, those lots, especially Hammer's lot, gets, man, it's filthy. So I was just nervous.
Bro.
So, but real quick, Kristen, first time back. Now you're not a newbie to home openers. And you're not a newbie to games.
Oh.
But holy crap. What was it like for you after no fans?
I'm a newbie to a home opener after not being able to be at a home opener for a couple of seasons. You know, I mean, that was holy cow. It was just like, I mean, obviously the energy, I'll be honest, the energy at the tailgate to me was lower leveled. It just kind of seemed like everybody was more chill this season. And that kind of really threw me. But once we got in that game, holy smokes. Like that was lit. That was so lit. Like when I just get chills even just thinking about, you know, the roar when Josh Allen walked in, the roar when Stephon Diggs, and that was Stephon's first time hearing us, like actually hearing us. You know?
No, you're right, because we obviously there were some fans for the playoff games, but it wasn't full fledged Bills Mafia. It was, you know, the first game that Joe and I went to was the Colts game. I think there was 11,000 or 12,000 people there, and then the Ravens game had 17, I believe. So yeah, you're right. He got to experience a little bit of it, but nothing like this. And like first of all, you let's talk about that for a second, because the energy in the stadium was so intense. But it was also intense from the players. When have you ever seen Josh come out that hype? Like, he ran out the tunnel, like, you know, like, let's go. And you could see it. I wish I had the video of it.
I know.
How do you feel about that? Because I feel like the energy, I feel like everybody was so hyped up and the energy was so high for the game. Well, I feel like it was one of those things like, you know what? Maybe these guys aren't, I don't want to say they weren't focused, but I feel like they were so excited that maybe their nerves kind of just didn't allow them to really get going. What's your take on that, Kristen?
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking, was that I think it was pretty clear to everybody that Josh just seemed a little off this game, right? Like he was overthrown. He was thrown into like four-man coverage where there literally wasn't anybody there. Like there was all these things that were happening. And I kept it kind of attributing that back to that initial energy. Like it almost felt like he was kind of overcompensating for that loss at Kansas City. And I don't know if that was it. I don't know if it was just that, you know, the having the Mafia finally back in there and having that noise. Like I don't know what kind of threw him off that game, but I just still don't feel like he wasn't the Josh that we saw. Now, I don't think he's regressing. I think that this was like a one-time, you know, one game thing that we're going to see from him. But it's still, I think a lot of it has to do with what you said. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, we saw Sugar High Josh again. We really did. I mean, he was hopping in the pocket. He was all over the place, but
that's a fair take. My question is, before I ask Gerald, so I'm kind of follow up with you, Kristen. So you said that you feel like we saw a little bit of the Sugar High Josh. So when I watched it, and you know, so Kristen and I kind of watched film last night. We watched the game again. The thing is, I didn't quite see Sugar High Josh. Like I saw Running for My Life Josh. Like the line looked bad to me. Yeah. And obviously we know Deion had he's recovering from COVID. So you can tell that his conditioning isn't there. Mongo Feliciano just didn't look. And even Mitch had I think he had two holding penalties or maybe just one, but he had a couple plays that he just got beat. And I tell you what, TJ Watt, he made up for his performance last year where it looked like Darrell Williams got the best of him. So, you know, I'm agreeing with you in the sense that Josh looked unsettled. But do you think, you know, to your point, do you think it was the sugar high or do you think it was really like he was just running for his life? I mean, because like I said, he just didn't look settled at all.
I mean, I think it was a combination of both. We all saw Pittsburgh's defense. They're lights out. I mean, they were incredible. And then mix in, you know, our O-line. You know, we saw messes with, obviously, Deion is exhausted from COVID. Feliciano, for whatever reason, if that's weight or not, or just because he was against Hayward. We just had holes. There was holes on holes on holes. So I think you're right. But I also think that there was a little bit, some of those overthrows, things like that, like we're used to consistency with him. And it just was non-existent this game. You know, there are so many drop passes. There are so many overthrows. And I think that it was a combination of him being overhyped with, again, what you said with, you know, also our O-line issues.
There was a play specifically that you pointed out to me when Steph, so Josh, it was, I believe it was a third down play and Josh threw it to Stephon Diggs. And it was like the moment he caught the ball, he was hit. Like he didn't even really get a chance to catch it good. Yeah. And to that point, when you pointed it out to me, it's like, yeah, this is what we can't see from Josh. Like, not that it wasn't a completion, but you don't want to put your number one receiver in that position to get hurt like that quickly. Right. Sterles, what's your take on, you know, just overall on the game? How do you feel the offensive line performed? Do you think that maybe with my guy Deion still kind of recovering, trying to get in the game shape, do you think we should take a look? Earth Rocker says that maybe Spencer Brown needs to get some reps. What are your takes on the line and how do you think we can correct this going forward? Because it's a long season, man, and it was just week one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you both. Cody Ford was the best offensive lineman on Sunday. That should tell you something.
What?
Consistently, yeah. Watching the film, I mean, they all got worked. All five of them just got worked. But Cody Ford was the best of the five that got worked. You know, it was one of those things where Josh never really got to settle into he was never comfortable in the pocket. It was a perfect storm, and it was a perfect game plan from the Steelers staff. And I think it was probably Brian Daboll's worst game coached as offensive coordinator. So I think from a Josh perspective, this is what we've seen. We've seen him perform this way against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it wasn't anything, nothing to worry about. But I think the wide receivers, in a sense, let him down too. I mean, he had some throws where guys just dropping the ball. So in a game, Patrick Mahomes doesn't make every perfect throw. And Josh, yeah, he had some throws where I'm sure he'd like to take back. And I think, in the beginning of the game, I think he was kind of chasing the big play. So I think we're going to see a more cerebral Josh Allen on Sunday. I think he'll take his shots deep later in the game. But I think what we're going to see is he's going to establish himself, in the short intermediate game. So I fully expect Josh to have a really good game. Now, from a run blocking perspective, Spence, we talked about this in the stadium. I said the Bills look better in the pin and pull when they're able to run the ball and block from a vertical standpoint than horizontally. The zone blocking stuff that they were pulling, it just didn't work well. So hopefully they can kind of switch to maybe the pin and pull and kind of just get these guys out in space where they don't have to think. So I really do think the Bills, from an offensive standpoint, I really do think they'll bounce back this week.
Well, Daniel says he's concerned about Deion's ability to handle the heat in this post-COVID condition. This is, again, kind of where I was alluding to when I said, do you think, like, right now with his conditioning, do you think it might be a good idea that Spencer Brown get some reps? Or not even maybe Spencer. I know he might not be developed yet. But do you think it might be the time, not necessarily saying bench Deion. I don't want to bench Deion. He's a very good left tackle. But do you think that it might be time to kind of figure out some things when it comes to, just shuffling around until Deion's back to being Deion?
I think when it comes to like conditioning and strength, I think the only thing that's going to help him is reps. So I think you got to keep him out there until he tells you, hey, I'm tired, I need to come out. Because we know when Deion Dawkins is healthy, when he's conditioned, he's a top 10, top 15 offensive tackle in this league. So I would say, let the rookie just be the rookie right now. And if he needs to come in, let him come in a pinch. But Deion's going to be okay. We paid him because he's a really good tackle. So Deion's going to be all right. It's going to take him a couple weeks to kind of get acclimated to being, where he needs to be, but he's going to be fine.
Okay. Well, before I go any further, because I want to get to the defense too. I was super impressed with the defensive line. But before I talk about that, I do got to take a quick moment and kind of just throw a shout out real quick. So just in case bags, let me just tell y'all, I was in Buffalo for this opener, right? And I saw some link ups. I saw some special connections being made. I saw some things happening at the game, at the tailgate, where people was like, well, what you doing after this? Let me tell you, if you aren't prepared for those special connections, those special link ups, Just in Case has something for everyone. The bags we got filled with goodies that you may need for freshening up after work, a gym session, or like I said, a little sneaky link, or just because. So let me kind of tell the ladies what we got for you. And inside the ladies bags, we got everything from, y'all see the list there. You got everything you need to be out there when things are going on and you might not have time to run home, and you are Orchard Park and your peoples might stay in West Seneca and you live downtown Buffalo. You might not have the time to go home and get jiggy if you're trying to get jiggy. We got everything you need in the bag there. And fellas, it's not just for the ladies. We got something for us too. Me, I got the braids, so I had to throw the do-rag at the top there because I got to keep that thing crispy. You got to be tight. So fellas, ladies, make sure y'all go check this out. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. Go to the website. Check it out. My homegirl, she's from Jersey, but she got some Bills Mafia background. She's from Philly, and she got some Bills Mafia background. Don't hate on her from being where she's born from, but she got love for the Bills, so I got love for her. So, but let's get it back. Let's bring this thing back to what we're talking about real quick. The defense, I'm so impressed with the defensive line. Last year, I feel like a lot of times we were credited with pressures on the quarterback, and we were credited with so much whatever. The thing is, we didn't really mess up no plays, man. We didn't stop completions. We didn't do all the stuff. This year, man, it's like it's like Christmas for me watching that defensive line. I'm gonna start with Kristen real quick. Kristen, what do you think about the defensive line compared to last year? Do you think like, are you excited about it, or have you seen enough to think that this is really going to be something this year?
I really do. I think, you know, I'm a strong believer that defense wins games, man. That's really, you know, defense wins the games. And I think we've gained more chemistry year over year with our defense. Like, they came out, I mean, our defense was, you know, it was what it was, but who was already there, and the, you know, plus adding in the, you know, all of our additions, we're going to be a problem this year. Like, our defense is going to be a problem, you know, which we need after we saw, we saw the offense. We need to really capitalize on our defense this year.
And check this. We didn't even have a star. So like, all this summer I've been saying, like, okay, look, we see what the run defense looked like without Star. And with Star 2 years ago, it wasn't like the best. It was just better than last year. So now this year, Sterling, we kept a guy who I think is going to be probably a top seven running back in the league this year. I really do. I think depending on what that offensive line in Pittsburgh does, I think Najee Harris is a monster, man. We kept him, like, we kept him bottled up for the most part of the game. And my man Tremaine was catching bodies. If you see something, say something. You see what I'm saying? If you see something, say something. But tell me. I didn't even mean to throw that out there. It was just there. But what do you think, man? Like, the run defense. Oh, she's like, I'm out of here. How do you feel the defense is looking there in that regards as well?
Man, the defense, man. Like, just seeing them, watching them, like, it was incredible. Like, Ed Oliver played his ass off. I mean, that guy, like, from, you know, his run fits were immaculate. You know, he really, you know, you saw him use his hands more. He was fierce. He was shedding blockers. I mean, he played a hell of a game. And you got Gregory Rousseau as a rookie, his first game. It didn't show up on the stat sheet, but what he was able to do using his length, you know, kind of keeping, offensive tackles, you know, at bay and just kind of working them, you know, because he could see over everybody. I mean, the defensive line was incredible. I was impressed. Najee Harris, I mean, you and I were talking during the game and we were like, Najee is a beast. He's a man child. Just look at that dude. Like, he is a full man. Like, when we talk about, like, Bron getting his man body, Najee got his man body already. And I'm telling you, nobody – we should all look at that performance and go, we need to give the Bills more credit what they did in the run game, because they really – they shut them down. The Bills defense shut Pittsburgh down. You know, if it wasn't for a blocked punt, right, it's a different story. So I'm excited about this defense. Now, you plug Star Latulé in the middle of that defense on the defensive line – you know, what he's going to be able to do, and something that we all should take a look at, is he's going to be able to maintain two people are going to have to block him most times. So you're going to see two people on Star, and then you're going to see one-on-one matchups. And this Miami offensive line is very young. So if the Bills can win these one-on-one matchups, it's going to prove dividends. And there's we're going to look at some film later in the show, and I'm going to show you some things how the Bills can exploit this Miami offense.
Well, what I want to show is how my man Tremaine was just catching bodies. You see how he just – we love you, Tremaine. We love you, Tremaine. He just out here catching – and I'm going to keep playing it for a second there. You just see that on the loop. And it just – you see how he looked at him? Like, look at him. Like, come on, boy, stand up. You know what I mean? And that's – the thing is, I know. Now, it's funny sometimes because, you know, everybody knows that I love Tremaine. But on top of me loving him, it's legitimate. I'm not loving him just because I chose to pick a player that is like, all right, I'm gonna have fun with it. No, the dude is actually, he's improving every single year. And I feel like it's unfair that a lot of times, not just our fan base, but just in general, in football and sports period, we have expectations for guys to come out of the draft and be like Hall of Famers day one, day two. And what I've seen from Tremaine, like, his rookie year, you can tell that he was tentative. You can tell that he didn't quite – I'm not saying that he was slow to the game, but he was trying to understand it more so than just being natural. This year, after 3 years of all of it, like, moving on, now we're seeing him react naturally. Joe mentioned on the show the other night, and I was joking, but at the same time, my point got across. He said the thing is, he wasn't running east and west now. He was running north and south. And the thing is, he's just – there was another play it was in the first quarter, I believe, where he literally just split the tackles and just and bust Najee Harris in the backfield for 2 yard loss. And this is the type of play that I'm expecting from Tremaine this year. But I'm telling you, he's gonna make people eat their words, man. I'm telling you, he's gonna make people eat their words.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back to that play you just played, notice how Tremaine looks over Najee at the end of the play. That's something that tells you that his confidence is through the roof now. Like he's understanding the game, man, and that's scary. That I mean, look at this. I mean, he steps over him and is like, "Yo, I'm here. Like, you're gonna learn today." I mean, yeah. Najee's right leg just almost broke in half. I mean, look at that. Bow. Like, I mean, like that is fierce. Like Tremaine is, he ain't nothing to play with, dude. Now you're gonna, I think we're gonna see him leashed. He's gonna be wrecking people all year. So I expect a big year from Tremaine.
Well, let me ask you, Kristen, and then we can move on from my guy Tremaine, because everybody knows I love Tremaine. We don't have to to beat a dead horse here. But like I said, we watched some film yesterday, and there were several plays aside from this one that I just showed. There's several plays where you really see Tremaine; he's all over the field. For you, what is it that you feel excitement about when you watch not just Tremaine, but like the linebackers and the secondary, because it seems like they work in unison now. You know, Tremaine was everywhere. Everywhere Hyde was, you saw Tremaine around the ball. Everywhere Jordan Poyer was, Tremaine or Matt Milano was there. What's your excitement about the secondary? I know, like I said, the defensive line, we just talked about how they're a strength. How do you feel about everything else?
I like it. I think that going into Miami, just from doing research and stuff, it looks like we're going to do a lot of, you know, man-to-man coverage with them, which I think is going to be needed. And I think that that's really where our secondary excels, is that man-to-man. So I'm really excited to watch that part of it. Also, just side note, you know, I'm coming out to Phoenix next week for work. So I'm going to bring you your sign back that you left in my car.
The thing is, I want you to, like, I mean, that's fine. You could bring it, but I would prefer for you to actually, next home game you go to, I want you to take it. Yeah, I want you to get it on the screen. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's Jiggy. And you're Kristen. Like, so you're the president for Mafia Babes. You're going to get on TV. It just is what it is. So I need you to use your photo ops and everything to kind of get me in there.
We'll get your sign on TV then, Spence.
All right, let's get to
but only as long as you like the high pitch. I love it, Tremaine. Like I need that from you.
I got to do a sound bite. Matter of fact, I'm gonna do a sound bite and I'm gonna record it and put it into the intro of the code of conduct. I want to just talk about David Reed's comment here. He says that Trey gonna hold it down, but I'll never see Wallace as anything but a liability. Again, so we were watching film, and then not even just the watching film part, but during the game, Sterling and I noticed a few plays, one in particular where he wasn't targeted that play. They didn't pass it to the receiver who he was covering, but man, he got broken down in a way that it's just like, yo, you should not be getting broken down like that. And I get it. You don't win every rep. You don't win every rep. I get that. And sometimes, you know, you play in the league long enough, you're going to take an L at times. I get that. But bro, he just didn't look solid at all Sunday. What you think? Where are we at with that?
Yeah. So first of all, like, it's one of those love hate kind of things. Like, you love the cerebral, hardworking player that Levi Wallace is, but we all know he's not the best athlete. So players like Deontay Johnson are just going to work him because they're really fast. And then one play, you know, and it was blowing up on Twitter, but we saw it live. His ankles got broken twice in one play. That boy's jockstrap was like hanger. His jockstrap was a hanger bar. Deontay Johnson is on the field. So that's okay because, you know, there's never a perfect situation. But, you know, you have to look at the matchups week to week. And that's why I think the Bills kind of beefed up that defensive line because, you know, they don't want to give quarterbacks time to throw the ball where they could just sit back, relax, and just huck one deep. But Levi Wallace excels and short to intermediate, you know, in zone coverage. You know, he can man up on a guy. Like, look for him tomorrow to man up on Devontae Parker. He's going to do a really good job. You know, it's when, you know, quarterbacks have like 3 seconds to throw the ball and they're looking to throw the ball deep. That's where he's going to struggle. Anything 15 yards and back, he's going to have his limitations because he's not the greatest athlete. So yes, the Bills should have got a CB2 in the offseason, but you can't, you know, you can't do it all. So, but Levi is solid, man. He's a decent corner for a cornerback too, and he's just going to get targeted because Trey White's just that good. You know, Taron Johnson played a hell of a game. Nobody talking about that either, right?
Well, so no. Well, the thing is, when you do your job, you're not noticed. So it's right. One of those things where if you're not getting the negativity, you're not getting people talking crap about you. Hey, that's a good thing. We're going to accept that. Like, so yeah, Johnson, thank you, dog. I appreciate you. I appreciate the game you played. But look, last season I was a little critical on Levi. I really was. I feel like it might kind of dig in or roll over to this season, unfortunately. Not me being critical, but the play or the lack of execution on certain things, man, he really has to pick it up. And I understand what you mean. Being opposite of Trey, you're going to get those targets because Trey is going to, even contrary to what EJ from PFF thinks, Trey is a very good cornerback. And there's a lot of times that quarterbacks will look over there at Tre'Davious and be like, heck no, ain't no space over there. I do not want to pick six or I don't want an interception. So, you know, it is what it is. Real quick, do me a favor, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in this room, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Facebook, on Twitter, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, I'm not saying leave us, but do me a favor and hop over to YouTube so you can hit the like button for me. We really need these likes to go up so it can help out the algorithm. So that way, when people look for Buffalo Bills content, you're going to see the chop up. You're going to see Buffalo Rumblings. You're going to see Kristen from Bills Mafia Babes. You're going to see my man Sterles for the Girls from Cover One. And you're going to see me. You see the shirt. I don't call myself this. This is really about the Justin Case bags, but you're going to see the King. Last week I had the King on. This one says Zaddy. I like this one. So. Also, the fourth member of the Chop Up crew, Angelina, she's not currently in the room because she's actually in Miami. She's already partying for Father's Day, you know, so she's enjoying it. She's going to pop in here quick and she's going to give us a little bit of, you know, just a little bit of background on what's going on down there. So we're going to get her in here in a minute. But so before we do, let's start talking about it. What's your Kristen, let's start with you. What's your expectation for tomorrow going into Miami? You know, first, I guess. You know, what do you expect to see differently from last week to this week?
What I hope to see different from last week is I hope our O-line steps up. I mean, I think that was the major issue that we really faced last week. We know we're good with defense. I think that, you know, Josh is going to have a game, you know, a game under his belt at this point where he's going to iron out in this off week. I think that we all know he's hard on himself, right? So I think that he's going to iron out those issues. I'm really hoping to see, honestly, I want to see more out of Feliciano. I know that there's, you know, he lost the weight and he did all these things. I did read something. I actually read an article from an interview with Matt Perino, after Thursday's practice, I think. And Feliciano said that losing the weight for him was intentional. Apparently somebody, he doesn't know who, said to his agent, like, man, if he would lose that weight, he could be a Pro Bowler. And so he went out and he lost that weight. I don't think that that was, you know, I don't think that this is a negative thing. A lot of people are looking at it as being negative. I think that he's now in a different body and he needs to learn how to use that body. But I also think it's going to make him quicker. I think it's going to, you know, but he just has to learn it. And I'm really hoping that this is kind of like the Feliciano, this is the Mongo comeback game. You know, he got, you know, whatever he needed to out of his system. I want to see him come back. Obviously, we want to see Deion, but I think that that's something that's more, you know, that's not really as much in his control. You know, we need to rest him more, to be honest. I want to see more work out of Darrell Williams as well. So I want to see the three of them because I feel like those were our three big issues. I want to see that turn around a little bit.
Your comment about Feliciano losing weight intentionally, Lone Wolf says, well, who lied to Feliciano? And the thing is, look, you're right. I understand guys want to be slimmer and healthier and more athletic, so losing weight will help you do that. Right. But the thing is, the job that John has, look, man, we need you to be that dog that you were. We need you to, you know, and to my homegirl Amy's point, she said, man, they all got manhandled. It was ridiculous. And I agree. What? When you look at, you know, I don't want to give anybody an excuse, but if I'm going to give anybody an excuse, like I said, it's going to be Deion. The guy's recovering from COVID and you can just tell that he was winded. But the issue or the one that I was looking at, like I said, was Feliciano. Mitch Morris didn't play well. Darrell Williams, last year he had a great game. But look, it's TJ Watt, man. That guy is probably going to be the defensive player of the year this year. If he's, I mean, I know it's week one, now it's week two, but I mean, that guy is incredible. You know, he and his brother just have the genes of like, it's just not fair to see what these guys, you know, the family genes that they have. It's just ridiculous. But Sterles, what about you? What's your thoughts on, you know, all of that? Like, what's your expectations as far as what we're going to see differently from week one now to week two?
So, Kristen, you made some really good points about the offensive line. I mean, I was not a fan of bringing Feliciano back in the first place, but he's here. So let's look at it from a constructive point of view. You know, when you lose that much weight at that level of an athlete, it takes time to kind of come into your, you know, how you're going to settle in, you know, make sure your base is good. You know, your hand placement, all those things are important, but then you got to realize like who the opponent was and those, you know, Steelers front. They're really good. Cameron Hayward, TJ Watt, Melvin Ingram. I mean, those guys were that's probably the best front seven that the Bills will see all season. So yeah, they got hit in the mouth, right? So we want to see them progress and be better. You know, I think offensive guard along with cornerback is one of the biggest needs the Bills are going to have coming into the offseason. But one of the things I'm paying attention to, I want to continue to see, you know, these young guys like Gregory Rousseau, you know, I want to see F.A. Obada. You know, I want to see more from Mario Addison from a defensive line perspective, because I think that's where, you know, that was the emphasis that Brandon Bean had coming into the season was we want to control the line of scrimmage. So from week one, we didn't do so well on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively they did a really good job. And this is another matchup where the Bills can be advantageous. You know, you're going to see Gregory Rousseau's play in front of his hometown. Like, he's a Miami kid, went to school in Miami. He's going to show out, you know, and I just really think that we're going to start to see. I'm not going to go crazy, but I really do think Gregory Rousseau has every ability to be a star in this league. And I think we're going to start seeing that come, you know, week to week. I mean, I kid you not, when you watch what he's able to do and how he processes the game and how he can, you know, he can, you know, stare down the tunnel and make sure his run fits and his, you know, controlling the line in the lanes to contain quarterbacks in the run game. I mean, and his pass rush moves, I mean, they're only going to get better. Working with Bruce Smith this offseason, it's only going to pay dividends. So I'm definitely watching the defensive line in the performance tomorrow. So it's going to be good.
Well, I also, if you can, let's take a minute now real quick. And you had a couple of things prepared for us. You want to start with the second quarter or the fourth quarter? We're going to switch over now to Miami. And you had some things prepared for us for Tua Tagovailoa. Am I saying that right? I always mess his name up.
A little tongue twister. Tua T.
Yeah. So where do we want to start? We want to start with the second or the fourth?
Yeah, so let's start with the second quarter. And I'll say this as you pull up that video. One of the things that the Bills are gonna feast on is Tua's ability or lack thereof. He cannot, you know, go through his progressions. As you can see here, when he's pressured, he kind of gets happy feet. You're gonna see him throw the ball off his back foot, and when he does that, mistakes happen. This kind of play happened more so often than not this past game against the New England Patriots, and you can see the Patriots are only rushing four there. They're dropping seven, rushing four. Okay, so when Tua is focused on that first read and it's not there, he has a hard time trying to find other receivers. And so what he does, and when the pressure comes in his face, he kind of just throws it up there. You know, he got picked off once late in the game, which we're going to show you the next clip. But look for that to be like the calling card with Tua, because that was one of the weakest areas that he had last year, and he didn't show any improvement last week. And not just us, but you hear Miami fans and beat writers talk about this stuff. Like, he has to be able to see the field better. There's no excuses. You have weapons galore. Why can't you process to go to read number two, to read number three, to read number four? I mean, these are things that Josh Allen kind of was zoned in on one guy. He kind of progressed, as we saw year to year, where he can view, you know, he can look down every lane of the field, you know, and get rid and throw the football, right? So when he tries to scramble, it just doesn't work well. So look for the Bills to rush four, right? Drop seven or rush five, right? And kind of get into his face, because once they get in his face, he's really bad with pressure coming in his face. So,
well, let's take a look at the fourth quarter play that you wanted to show.
Yes. So right before we start here, you can see how the Patriots are caught. We call this window dressing. Okay. You can see them. It looks like they're rushing six, rushing seven. But what we're going to see is you're going to see four players rushing. You're going to see three go back in the coverage. Look, he's looking to his right. Okay. Now it's covered. He doesn't go to the check down. He tries to make a play here. This isn't college. People are going to eat you alive because you're slow. And then look, he just throws it up there. Look at where his hips are. They're pointed towards the sideline. He throws it up there. Look what happens. Interception. It's Miami's winning the game, 17-16, and it's the fourth quarter. Like, you cannot make these kind of plays. I mean, he just got destroyed. Like, you can't do that. You cannot do that at all. So, you know, to kind of make things simple, when you're playing quarterback there, you have a hot route. You have your guy that you're going to throw the ball to, or you think this dude's going to be open. And then you have your hot route. So he should have thrown the ball away, or should have hit the running back in the flat and not try to make a play like that. You know, there's only certain guys in this league that can scramble around and make plays like that. There's probably only five guys in this league that can do that. And Josh Allen is one of them. If you're not him, Tua, I probably wouldn't do that. But if you want to do that kind of stuff, please do it tomorrow, because the Bills are going to eat you alive. So you're going to see Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier kind of make it look like they did it last week in the Pittsburgh game. They're going to show six or seven in the box and try to blitz that way. And then they're going to drop them back in coverage, because they really do believe that the Bills are going to be the defensive line. You know, now Ben Roethlisberger is one of the best at getting rid of the ball really quickly. Tua ain't there yet. So I believe that the Dolphins were 36% on third down conversions last week. That was really bad, 36%. Mm-hmm. So if you bring that in to the Bills with the Bills defense, it's going to be nasty. So those are some of the things I wanted to highlight where the Bills can be advantageous and cause issues for the Dolphins.
Well, so those two plays that you showed, like I said, it shows that under pressure, he's happy feet, or, you know, everybody calls Josh Sugar Rush High or Sugar High Josh. It looks like Tua's pretty much the same, but he doesn't have the same abilities to turn some of those plays into great plays. Like, so a lot of times, yeah, we'll see Josh make a mistake, but then we'll also see Josh do amazing, great things. Right. So when that happens, we only talk about the Sugar High Josh when it's a mess up, but for the most part, you see Josh roll out. He breaks 15 tackles, and then he jumps over the linebacker, and then he dives into the end zone for a touchdown. And it's like, man, that's incredible. Tua doesn't have that physical ability to do so. And the way our defensive line is set up, man, we got Groot. Like, the way Groot looked, and I know he didn't have the same – he didn't have the same number of snaps as the vets. And I get it. He's a rookie. He has to earn those snaps. And I don't know what it is, why he wasn't in there more. But look, when he's in there, it's clear that this kid is something special, man. And I was wrong. I've been saying it since I figured it out. I'm admitting it publicly. I was wrong to not be excited about the Buffalo Bills draft and Groot. Greg Rousseau is like, there was a play. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the second quarter, Kristen, if you can refresh my memory. It was like he was being blocked really, really well. Like when I tell you the dude was blocked, he literally reached his arm under the blocker and grabbed Najee Harris and threw him to the ground. So while he's being blocked, falling backwards, he reached his arm under the offensive lineman's arm and then grabbed down Najee. Again, a dude with a man body. Like, this ain't no little dude coming into – this ain't – I'm trying to think of a small back. This ain't a small back coming into the – he's solid. He might not look like it because he's quicker than most and he's strong. Dude, Najee Harris got pulled down by one arm by Greg Rousseau running full speed. That's going to be a problem when it comes to Tua. It's going to be a problem. And they don't have the running game, to me, that Pittsburgh does. I know people are high right now on what Miami thinks they're doing. And I'm not saying that as a hate. What I'm saying is I think Najee Harris is better than any running back they have down here in Miami.
Absolutely.
So when I'm saying – I don't understand how people are thinking this is going to go any differently. The Bills are legit now when it comes to the run defense. It was a problem, and they corrected it. Kristen, and I know I already asked you about Groot, but y'all can pile it on me real quick because I was wrong. So about Groot, what is it that makes you, like, what did you see that made you be like, yo, yeah, Spence is dumb?
It's honestly.
You saw him sneak that in there, right?
So Spence is dumb because, you know.
Yes, I love it.
Because it, like you just said, it's his length. that guy can come off the line and he's reaching through people. Like, he's reaching through people. You know, his arms are so long that he can just run through somebody, and then he can be literally like two humans away and still take down Najee Harris. Like, and it's not just his length, it's his strength. I mean, he's fast, he's strong, and he's long, and he's just, I don't think that I mean, you know, you don't get a huge flashy player in the first round of the draft. And with him, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Now it's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. You know? Like, look what this guy can do.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that, I think that's why it's like, okay, yeah, I was wrong. So when we drafted him, and I told you this will probably be the last time I tell this story. But I was disappointed in group because when we took him, obviously he fell to us for a reason. The thing is, he took last season off in college. He didn't play because of COVID. He opted out. In my opinion, you know you're entering the NFL draft. You knew that. So why aren't you preparing for these drills? Why aren't you preparing for the things that they're grading you on to draft you? Because you took a year out. So really, they're looking at your film, and now they're looking at, okay, how did he stay in shape? How did he do this? What did he develop since he left college? What can we see with these drills? And even though I don't personally believe that, you know, every drill will translate to the field, a lot of them do, which is why they use these drills and these exercises to see where the players stand. So he performed horribly. He performed horribly. And it's like, okay, yeah, he failed to us. He had 14 sacks in his, or 15 sacks in his freshman year or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I was disappointed that he didn't maintain it and work through the summer. But like I said, I was wrong. I was completely wrong. Looking at this kid in preseason, looking at this kid now that the season has started, yo. And now, can we talk about Efe Obada? Now, can we just talk about how the combination of he and group together, it might really be scary for teams with this length that we have on the defensive line. Strauss, can you talk a little bit about how Efe Obada's presence, again, he didn't have the most snaps, but he had a presence. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw from Efe Obada?
Yeah, Efe Obada is another guy. You know, I think he's 6'6". But the thing, the contrasting difference between his physique and Groot's is that Efe is, he's more solid. And both of these guys are raw. Like, that's the thing that, like, I love about them, because they're raw talents that are only going to get better. I mean, Efe Obada led, you know, the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he didn't lead them, but he had 5.5 sacks last year. That would have led the Bills. Efe Obada has length. He has power. He's a powerful athlete. He's only putting together, you know, his pass rush moves and how to disengage from blockers and so forth. So, you know, you put him in there, you know, with the Bills coaching staff and the defensive line coach, you know, he's only going to improve, you know, from a snap count standpoint. Between Ed Oliver and Gregory Rousseau, they had the most snaps from the defensive line, you know. And so we know that they like to platoon these guys and kind of, you know, switch them in and out. So, we're going to see what happens with Efe Obada. But when you look at him, he's strong. He's powerful. He can use his hands, and he kind of has a quick twitch to him. And so, he's a special athlete from a guy that didn't grow up playing football. He kind of just started this thing like a few years ago. So, you know what he's able to do. How many people do you know that didn't grow up playing football, but just kind of, he's in the league now, like, and he had 5 sacks last year. And the dude grew up in England, like, that to me is special. I mean, he's a hardworking dude. I love what Efe Obada brings to the table. I love the versatility. He's a guy that could play inside at defensive tackle and at 3-tech, and he can also play defensive end. So that's one of the things that McDermott, you know, those guys preach about, you know, scheme versatility. You know, he could do a lot of things. So. You're going to see a lot of D-line combinations this year with this team.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. So, like I said, we do have we have my girl Angelina coming in here soon. Before she jumps in, let's start getting some predictions. So, because I feel like when she gets in, the whole vibe is going to change, because she's already down there celebrating Father's Day. So I feel like
I love it. I feel like I need to prepare for this one. Like,
yeah. I feel like it's already going to take a shift. So let's get our predictions in. Let's get our hot takes and all that stuff in. And then that way, when she pops in here, then we can just, you know, we can end the show out with a bang. So, Kristen, let's start with you. Two things. One, three. We're going to go three things. I need a score prediction. Uh-huh. I need a Josh Allen stat line. And I need a hot take. So, like, something that you feel like is going to happen that you just wouldn't even think about. So same question for you, Sterles, after Kristen, after K-Gun. We're going to change your name on there. Like, it's a Kristen. And I know you want people to know you, but you K-Gun when it comes to this. You know what I mean? Like, you, and Sterles, I'm switching yours, too. It's going to be Sterles for the girls. Got to be that. Got to be
Let's
that.
Let's go. Let's go. All right. Let's go.
And I'm changing mine to Jay Spencer, the babe. It's happening. But Kristen, what's
up? I'm actually, you know what? I'm probably going to get burned on this one. I am similar to how I didn't want to sleep on the Steelers. I also do not want to sleep on the Miami Dolphins. They blitz hard. They're blitz heavy. That worries me. I'm going to say that I'm going to put this game at like 33-29. I think it's going to be closer than we really are going to expect. I think it is going to be a higher scoring game. So I'm going to go 33-29 on this one. Did we actually record them last week? Did we record it? We got to go back and look at those and see who was the closest on last week's predictions. Still. So
I don't think any of us were really
wrong.
All of us predicted the Bills to win.
Yeah.
So that's wrong. And then secondly, the scores, you probably were closest as far as like the margin of victory, because you had a closer game than everybody, But yeah, no, we were all, that was an L for everybody. That was bad.
Yeah. My hot take, I think that, I think Feliciano is going to be the Mongo comeback game. I also think that we need turnovers this game. We need our secondary to get on that. That didn't happen last game. That hurt. So I think that we need that, but I love my man Mongo. I'm saying that this is going to be his comeback.
Hey, I'm with that. I would love for it to be a Mongo comeback. Because to me, if it's a Mongo comeback game, that means it's a Devin comeback game. You know, like, and I know Devin didn't have a horrible game by any means. So I don't mean, but if the offensive line is clicking, that means the run game is going to be clicking. And that also means Josh will have time to throw the ball. So no, that's a hot take that I'm going to subscribe to. Let me donate to whatever it is I got to do to make that thing happen. Sterles for the girls, what you got, man? What's your prediction? What's your Josh stat line? And what's your hot take?
All right, Jay Spence, the babe. I like how you worked that in there. 31-27, Bills is going to be a close one. I think you're going to see – I got a few hot takes for you. One, there's going to be a defensive touchdown. Two, Gregory Rousseau is going to have two sacks. Josh Allen's going to go – he's going to throw the ball 34 for 47, 345 yards, and three touchdowns. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with. Hold me to it because it's going down. It's going down. We're getting excited about this game. Look, I'm telling you. Like, what do we know about Sean McDermott? Like, this was the perfect for the Bills to get their ass whooped week one. They're going to have these dudes ready. If it's a blowout, I don't know. But look. The modest man in me says 31-27, but I'm looking. If the Bills want to put up 40 on these cats, I'm totally cool with it. But Josh Allen's going to show out tomorrow. He's going to show out. Stephon Diggs is going to have a big game as well.
All right. Well, I'm with that. You know, I'm all the way there. I'm going to go. I've been saying 28-17. Ooh. And I think the Bills are going to do it. I think Josh is going to have two touchdowns and an interception. Sorry, Bills fans. Josh is not infallible. He's not going to be perfect. I think because of the arrogance of the fact that, you know, obviously I'm attributing to it. I'm saying like, oh, he's their daddy. It's Father's Day. So there's a feeling that of confidence that he has to go down there because he's had success in Miami. He's had success in Orchard Park playing against Miami. So there's just going to be a confidence that it kind of feels like everybody is saying, you know, Josh Allen to the Dolphins is going to be what Tom Brady was to the Bills for all those years. And I would love to see that as a Bills fan. Obviously, any team that we can dominate in our division is something that makes me happy. But I just think that we might kind of sort of be jumping the gun on that because Adam Gase was the coach for a few of those wins. And, you know, and I think Brian Flores is a better coach. I do think that we still win tomorrow because I think the Bills do not want to start the season 0-2. And I think if you're going to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender, if you're going to be trying to win the conference, you have to start off, you know, you got to win. You can't take this loss. My hot take, I'm actually going to steal a hot take from my guy Richard Rush in the comments here. My man says, hot take, Edmonds has a sack and two interceptions. Now, I know it's probably not likely that he's going to get the two interceptions, because what I've seen from Tremaine is that, you know, he reacts quickly, but his hands just don't seem to react as quickly as his mind and the rest of his body. So, like, he'll be where the ball is and he'll dive for the ball, but it just doesn't seem like something happens where he just can't catch it. And I don't know what's happening there, but he's going to get a sack. I think he's actually, so I'm going to switch it up a bit, Rich. He's going to get a sack and he's going to force a fumble. I think my man Tremaine is going to catch a body and then he's going to pick the ball up after and run away. He's going to rob that man. You know how, you know, in the streets, yeah, hashtag catch a body. We catch a body. You see something, say something, because he's going to rob a man cold blooded on national TV. He's going to pop that dude, the ball going to pop out, and he's going to pick it up and put it in his pocket, and that's going to be where it is. So I feel like my man Tremaine is really going to make some things happen. And, yo, I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I'm looking forward to having a good week. After a loss, it's just not – this week – you know what? Let me ask y'all this. Because this week, I didn't have, like, the roughest of weeks. It wasn't, like – typically, I'm, like, so invested in the game that, like, when the Bills lose, I don't want to talk to nobody. Don't text me. I turn my phone off. I mute for a couple minutes and whatever. This week, it was just like, okay. And you both remember, right after the game, we were in the parking lot again. We went to the tailgate spot that we were at, and it was just like, okay, I'm not that mad. Like, you know, it's week one. I'm not going to overreact. How did you take it? Let's start with Kristen. How did you take it? Like, how did you feel this week after the Pittsburgh loss?
Similar. Like, eerily not upset. Because same, you know, I mean, the Bills lose. It can ruin not only my day, sometimes it ruins a few days, you know. For some reason, this one didn't bother me, because I think that I haven't lost any faith in this team at all. I think that what we saw was a team that is still really, really good. We just needed them to shake off the rust. I mean, they went up against a real opponent. You know, this wasn't preseason anymore. This was a really good defense. We're not going to run into this a lot the rest of the season. And we still held our own. But I think coming out of that, I still have all the faith in the world that we are still we are still championship caliber. We are still Super Bowl caliber. And I just wasn't as upset as I wasn't, I think, in past years. I was okay. I'm okay, man.
What about you, Sterles? Where was you at with it?
I was disappointed. I mean, you know, you when you were at, if you're at the game, you know, you felt like the energy of the fans and like everything that it meant, you know, so you wanted a win, but you also have to understand that Pittsburgh's good too. And those guys get paid just like the Bills guys do. And if they were going to get a wake up call at any point in the season, I'd rather be right out the gate, you know, take that L first, you know, kind of regroup, you know. And it was one of those kind of things you and I, Spence, we talked about, kind of being, you know, the hunter and then the hunted. And the Bills are the hunted, so they have to kind of figure out, you know, that mindset, that underdog mindset. They kind of have to adapt that again. And I think once they do that, I think they'll be okay. But, you know, I don't think they're going to go 16-1. You know, I think they're going to lose 3, 4, 5 games possibly, because, I mean, teams are just going to play their best game when they play the Bills because they're that good. So it's okay, man. You know, it's easy to get so wrapped up in, you know, people's hot takes and, oh, the Bills ain't this, the Bills ain't that, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. But we all know that, you know, because we follow this team, that this is a really good football team. They're going to be ready to play, you know, and they're just going to have to get used to taking everybody's A-plus shots.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So before we get out of here, it looks like Angie is a little – oh, wait a minute. Before I talk about Ange, I forgot. I actually have to do the body count, okay? Tremaine got hashtag body count, okay? He catching bodies this weekend. I'm putting the number at 3. What y'all taking the over-under on?
Under.
You taking the under of 3 bodies?
Yeah.
What about you?
I guess I'm going to take over. I'm going to go over.
I'm gonna keep a tally. So I'm gonna bring my friend, my buddy, my homegirl. First of all, y'all don't understand how much I love this woman, but we're gonna bring Angelina in. She's down in Miami right now celebrating Father's Day. What up, Ange?
How's it going, everybody?
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm absolutely great. Seeing Bills Mafia down here is like a whole other world. Believe it or not, this is my first away game. So just seeing the atmosphere down here and seeing everyone down here is just absolutely incredible.
So this is your first away game, and it's the Miami game. So first, tell us a little bit about, because you actually, you were awarded tickets in a special way. Tell us a little bit about why you're down in Miami.
Yeah, so Warlock, as you know, LaShawn, he's an amazing, amazing human being. So he's always giving opportunities for people to win games. You know, it's either you just have to retweet it, things like that. So I did this months ago back in, like, I think it was probably maybe May or April at this point. And I had retweeted it. You know, he makes it really, really simple to just kind of enter in and win. And I had won. And it was kind of like a graduation present to me, is like what he said. And I just had, I was blown away. I was like, this is the most incredible present anyone could ever give to me. And I was so, so thankful. So I'm down here now for the game. I know he did something kind of similar last week with the home opener, that he picked up a couple people to be selected, to be able to come to the home opener. So he's just, there's no one in this world like him. There really isn't. Like, he's just constantly, you know, helping people out, meeting different members of Bills Mafia, making sure that they get out to games with him. And I can't be more thankful for him.
You know what, Ange, before, like, first of all, thank you for doing this. Like, I know it's like you're down in Miami partying up. I'm laughing because I can tell, like, you're trying to really compose yourself when you're trying to do this thing. Yo, you are lit right now. I can tell you are lit.
I'm going to jump in on this one because I've gotten the Snapchats all day today.
So how's the party going? How's the
elbow room?
Well, how's the party going right now down there?
You know, it's going. It's kind of been an all-day adventure, and it hasn't really stopped. You know, I had to kind of put like a little pit stop in there for myself because I'm like, hey, this is important. We got to do this thing. But when I tell you, people have like swarmed in. We got people honking. We have people coming by like the groups. Like, it's serious down here. Absolutely.
Dude, that's elbow awesome. Room looks nuts. It looks insane. I've got other friends also that I don't think that you know that are also in there, just like friends that I have that live in Florida. So I was getting snaps from every angle. There was a guy just walking around with a straight up parrot on his shoulder.
There absolutely was. You're absolutely right. And I saw that person and I got to pet that said parrot. Absolutely. You're not wrong. Just the things you wouldn't think you would see. Obviously, it's cool. Like, I didn't even feel out of place because I'm like, this is family. Like, this is Bill's mom, right? Like, I don't feel like out of place. But the things like that parrot you would see, I'm just like, oh my God.
Hold on. Wait. So let me ask you a question. Like, did you actually see Toucan Sam like on the strip in Miami? Okay. With some Fruit Loops. And then for the fans, like, notice, like, there's a delay with Angie. It's not because it's bad bandwidth. She's just lit right now.
So for those of you listening in podcast form, so when you're listening to this as a pregame.
Y'all, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm loving it. I love the energy. So look, we're about to get out of here, Ange. Like I said, I thank you for reporting live from Miami. Before you get out of here, do me a favor. Let me know. I need to know your score prediction for the game. I need to know Josh Allen's stat line. And I need a hot take from you. Something that you think crazy is going to happen in the game that, you know, nobody would expect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we're going to win this week. Again, I know I said that last week, but I think Josh Allen's kind of, you know, especially how last week went, you know, the struggles that we had, especially on offense and with the offensive line. I think we're going to get it together this week. I think we're going to pull out a win. Angry. I think he's going to want revenge. I feel bad for the Dolphins this week because I'm like, nothing is worse than an angry Josh Allen. So I think we are going to win this week. Score prediction. I didn't really think about that. Let me see. I'm going to say 28-21. It might even be more than that for us, but that's what I'm going to go with right now. But like I said, I think this is going to be a revenge game for Josh Allen. I think there's a lot of people who want to prove themselves right this game to show that they are in the right place, that they're trending in the right direction. So I think we're going to pull out with a win.
Okay, well, you know what? Real quick, I just got a text message that you're with somebody. Why don't I get a quick prediction game? Same thing. I want the game score. I want all that from your special guest.
Say hi. The one and only Ashley Petty with me. She's right in the background.
We got Ashley Petty down in Miami with Angelina as well. Ash, why don't you give us a quick prediction of the score? Give us a stat line for Josh and a hot take.
I don't know. I just think we're going to rebound very heavily tonight or tomorrow. I'm sorry. I'm a little tonight.
This is too much. I love it. Yeah.
You know what? No, I understand. No, Ash. No, it's okay. It's okay. We'll get you on a chop up when you're not. We'll let you prepare next.
I'm so glad that you guys are having such a good time. Like, I've been
yeah.
great.
Yo, when that car pulled up playing Benny the Butcher, that shit was fire. Like, no joke. It was lit.
To be honest. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the chop up. Hey, real quick. Oh.
Josh Allen has a hard time losing to this Dolphins team. You know, he's 5-1, and other than the Charles Clay game, there really isn't, you know, a time that he's lost to this team. So I don't see them losing again. A hot take, I don't really have one. I think Cole Beasley's going to rebound a little bit this game because he looked a little rough last week, not going to lie. I don't think he drops that many balls in a normal game. So I think he makes a rebound. I think Cole Beasley's going to have a great day tomorrow. I would say Josh throws for at least 300 yards tomorrow. That's my hot take. There we go.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was another special guest, Miss Ashley Petty. So real quick, Angelina, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on your socials and where they can find your content? You also do the Donut Bag Pod. So why don't you talk about that really quickly before we let you get back to celebrating Daddy's Day?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, I'm BillsBabe716. So I always share, you know, content on there, and you do the Donut Bag. That's usually the main place that I share the link for that. And then I'm also on Instagram as well at Angelina0. So in Twitter, those are the main find on there.
Okay, well, you're actually breaking up a little bit now, so I'm gonna hopefully Kristen will know the names, or actually say it one more time. It looks like we got your connection back. So say your Instagram again. We got your Twitter.
Sorry. Yeah, so my Twitter is BillsBabe716. So that's the main place that I'll retweet, you know, either to this podcast or the Donut Bag podcast if we do a show. Or I'm also on Instagram at Bills Angelina0X. That's the other place to find me.
All right. Well, Angie and Ash, thank y'all so much for checking in and reporting to us live from down here at the beautiful beach. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all night. I love you both. Stay safe. Get back to y'all room safe. Text me tomorrow. Let me know that y'all safe. You know how I am with that stuff. Don't have me coming down to Florida looking for y'all. Okay. Y'all be safe. I love y'all.
I sure do.
All right.
Bye, guys. Peace.
All right. Steros. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you and find your content, man? And we're going to get on out of here after Kristen.
Yeah, at Furrow Sterling on Twitter. You can find me on the Cover One Network. The Hoof Live is on Tuesday nights, so that's where you can find me. But I'm ready. I'm rocking. Hey, Jeffrey Dangers is a homie right there.
Yeah, yeah. No, real quick before we get out of here. The other night I was doing, I think it was the Hump Day Hotline, Joe and I were on the show together, and I kept saying, like, he was commenting, and I'm like, yeah, my man Steros is in the comment. I'm like, Steros, you know, I'm like, Steros could tell you we was at the game and blah, 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 blah. And then I actually put the comment up on the screen and I saw the picture and I'm like, yo, I thought that was Steros because on Twitter, that's the name that you took on.
I'm going to put another layer onto that. So I was watching that pod. And here I am texting Sterls being like, oh my God, I didn't realize that was you.
Yeah.
And he back, and then you put it up and I also saw the picture. And now here I am texting Sterls again being like, just disregard that. It's not you. It was really
I felt all special. Sterls was in the chat and it wasn't even him. But Jeffrey Danger, I still feel special that you was in. It was just funny that I thought it was Sterls.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where I saw, yo, that's a dope ass name for a white man. I'm like, you know, if I had to be a white man, I want my name to be Jeffrey Danger, but like, you know what? I'm going to add a P to it. So I'm Jeffrey P. Danger representing the swag. for my guy Jeffrey Danger. So that's how I'm getting down. So that's my guy. That's my doppelganger. That's the homie right there. And I'm doing this just like he is. So whatever. That's how we rolling.
I love it, man. I love it. Kristen, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you? And not just you, let the ladies in the comments know kind of what you got going on and where they can kind of get involved and feel a part of this great community that has been built over the last, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So personally, you can find me on Twitter at Kimmick86. But more than that, you can also find our organization, which is the Bills Mafia Babes, in multiple different locations. So on Twitter, we are at Bills Mafia Babes. On Instagram, we are at Bills Mafia Babes. On Facebook, we do have an at Bills Mafia Babes recent page. It's a new business page that we just built that kind of allows the entire public to get in touch with us that way and kind of follow along with different events and charitable aspects that we're pushing. But more than that, we have the at Bills Mafia Babes actual Facebook group. So we actually today just breached 12,500 women. It is an only woman group. Except for there are three players in there. Mark Maddox, John Fina, and Aaron Williams are all members of this group as well. Aaron, we just recently added in last week, but we encourage all women to jump in, you know, no matter what your level of football knowledge is, come in. It's a safe space. We, you know, we talk about football. We talk about our gear. We share things. Last night, somebody started a thing where they wanted to have adoptions. When I say adoptions, it means that Buffalo women are now adopting, you know, expats. And adopting them to be able to say like, hey, I'll be your go-to girl to send you all that cool stuff that's rolling into, you know, Wegmans, and that's all only local Buffalo stuff. So they're doing some really great things in there. It's a big community. Feel free to jump on in there. And that's where you can find us.
They got a lot of good stuff going on. For the record, I am an honorary member. I do not have a Facebook, but they wouldn't let me in anyway. It's going to happen. Before this year is out, I'm going to earn my place in the Facebook group. I'm gonna just tell y'all, because I love the babes, the babe loves me. I'm Jay Spence the babe. It's going down. Look, y'all know how I do it over here. It's your boy Jay Spence the king. I love y'all. I love y'all so much. This week has been kind of down, but it's been great because of y'all. The chop up has been dope. The code of conduct has been dope. The show that Joe and I do, Hump Day Hotline, has been dope. I just appreciate everybody. I love y'all. Look, tomorrow, enjoy the game, party up, enjoy this. It's gonna be a great time. So like I said, y'all know how to do it here. Love each other. Take care of each other and live in peace. And as always, stay positive and test negative. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Y'all was about to get it. If y'all ain't say it, y'all was going to get it so bad. Y'all.